I have actually had this word for a while, but I was only asked to speak on it a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it's interesting that it's come up now in light of events that have happened in my own life. The scripture that I'm going to be basing today on comes from Hebrews 4:13-16. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Jesus is the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way as we have, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. One of the jobs that I do I have many professional jobs, but one of the jobs that I do is I assess people for the Nurses Registration Board governing body who have been found to be not competent, but there's a little bit of a he said, she said, and they want me to be able to decide whether or not they're still competent. I've been doing it now for about eight, nine years. And normally people, at the end of it, I'll say to them, this is what you need to get fixed normally. And if you do that, then you'll have your full registration be restored again so that you can practice as you need to be. Generally, you will never hear me talk about this process because it is very confidential. What the findings I have, the person that I see is kept very quiet so that it gets done in a way that will not create shame and will restore them. But last month, I had somebody who has chosen to not listen to the advice that I gave at the time and took me to court, saying that my whole processes were unethical, illegal, and that my processes needed to be rethought through, and that and there are a lot of significant implications for that. Needless to say, I was very, very worried about doing it. But what was provided for me at the time of the court case was a legal barrister. And the first thing that he did was he came and spent several hours with me interrogating me, it felt like at the time, but what he was doing was trying to find out who I was, what my capacity was, why I'd done what I'd done, so he could prepare a brief. So that when we got into the courtroom, he would be standing there, he would be asking me questions, and he would be standing there and deciding whether or not to frame questions and processes in a way that made me look okay, and that not only allowed me to get to the other side of this interrogation by the other person, but have the rulings and the findings that I had found to be legal and in the right place. What really, when I got into the courtroom, that's exactly what happened. I was made to go through my entire report almost line by line, explaining why I had made the decisions that I did and what was the reason for it, how I had done it, the situations I'd done it in, what were my thought processes, how I had ensured that there was rigour and not bias in what I was doing. And so it was very intense and really thorough. But sitting in that chair when I was looking at that man who was terrifyingly smart, who was the person that was supporting me, it really made me think about Jesus. Because, not because he was a Christian, because I don't think he was, but because this is actually the kind of thing that God has provided for us. When we end up going to heaven and standing in front of God, who is going to be the judge of all the earth, we already have our barrister, if you like, our great high priest, who not only, this other guy took the time to understand the field in which I worked so that he could then represent that well. Jesus has already done that. He came to earth, he understood it, he understands how we're tempted, he understands the context of things that set up, he understands human weakness because of sin coming into the world. And his job is entirely to stand there and to defend us. What didn't happen was that he stood up there and did all my speaking for me, which would have been very nice, I might add. But I was sat in that witness chair for about 4.5 hours being grilled and being asked a whole raft of questions. And he, at the briefing that he said, the last thing he said to me was, I'm fully expecting the person that's going to be prosecuting you to go for you really hard. In other words, he's going to do everything that he can to take you down, and I'm going to let it happen. I'm going to let it happen until such a time as I think you're no longer coping, but I'm going to make sure that you're so well prepared beforehand that I don't think that will happen. And also he said to me, and what I'm also confident in is that I know the boundaries and the capacity that you have as a registered nurse, so I'm actually not that worried that that's going to take you down. Completely confident in is the fact that with the good preparation that we've done, you're going to be able to stand there and defend yourself. I wasn't all that comforted by that. I can tell you, I had a few nights sleep and I sent a few texts to a few friends of mine about praying for me, because it's not that I don't think I'm a good clinician because I've been told often I am, but it's that until you are tested in that kind of level, it's just your word and a few nice stories of people that you've made connection with. It's actually nothing more than that. And the other thing about it was the fact that I was the one defending myself meant that with his background and his framing, meant that I was gaining in confidence for the next time that something like this happens. What ended up happening on the day was that he didn't actually say a word when the other guy was prosecuting me. And the other thing that struck me about that in terms of the Christian life is we often want Jesus to step in and take away the things that are happening to us. We go into a lot of difficulty, and I'm guilty of this quite strongly. We go into a lot of difficulty and we say to ourselves, this isn't fair, Lord. You've done this to me. It's not right. I've been a good Christian. I've been a good girl. And let me tell you, I work very hard at being a very good registered nurse and doing my assessments the right way. And it's not fair that that's going to be happening to me, because I've done all the right things. And I, to the best of my ability, with the understandings of my limitations as a human, I try and live a good and upright life. I try and do the right thing. But the point was, this was my life, my practice, and I needed to be the one that stood there. Are you glad of my English? I can do veggie mass, but not English. To stand there and be the one that faces it. And I really was then reminded of the verses that come into Scripture. He knows our weaknesses and he's been tested in every way that we have, because he himself has suffered and was tempted and is able to help those who were tempted. The other thing is he knows our capacity. No temptation was undertaken to you except that is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. I've had a number of temptations and a number of places where I've been in crisis, and I felt that there has not been another thing that I could take, and yet something else rolled in. And what has surprised me is that when I really turned to God, I was able to withstand that for the next thing, and it's created a resilience and a strength that is building in my life over time, so that the next thing that comes in, I will be able to endure. I spend a lot of time with older people in my work, and one of the things and they're in a lot of pain as registered nurses, and one of the things that I find with them is people that have learnt to roll with the punches and process what happens to them, and people that have a genuine faith in God, not the ones that goes, help me at the last minute when they're feeling like they're about to die, but the genuine faith in God, have the capacity to face it with grace. It's not that they don't still need surgery and drugs and whatever, but they still have the capacity to face it. We have a faithful high priest. What actually struck me, though, about the person who was bringing all these allegations against me was when he had his assessment, I had found him not competent in a number of areas. And I have a restorative mindset to my assessments, and that I always, where possible, put forward things that they can do as restitution. And his was that he needed to do more training. But instead of doing the training, he had chosen to fight me all the way. The second thing about it was that he had decided that he was smart enough that he was able to defend himself and mount his own battle for himself. And so I wasn't speaking to another lawyer when I was being interrogated by him. I was being interrogated by the person who was bringing the judgment against me. Very difficult, actually, to speak about somebody to them when they're in the room and then also be speaking to the judge. So, but I had to be fair and honest and continue with what I had already decided, because that was the correct thing, and not be intimidated by the person who was standing before me saying that everything I'd done was unfair and incorrect, and give explanations to not just him and my barrister, but the panel of judges that I had in front of me. One was a judge and the other were particular people that were important for this particular trial. The more he tried to interrogate me, the more clear it became that he really didn't understand what he was talking about. He really didn't understand his practice, which was why he was there in the first place. And he became increasingly confused. In fact, there were a number of times and I had to say to him, "I'm really sorry, but I don't understand the question that you're asking me, because it's not making sense to me. Can you rephrase that, please?" Enough that the judge ended up saying, "Yeah, can you please just stop rambling? Talk to me about what you want to say. I'll phrase the questions and then I'll give it to her and then we'll get that answered." And he was still unable to do it. So the confusion and the problems continued through the whole time, and he was doing that for about 2 of those 4.5 hours. And I was thinking about that too in terms of ourselves in our lives. You know, even the person that you have conflict with or that you think is incorrect, God loves enough that he sent his son for them. He loves them enough, that person enough, that he wants them restored. He loves them enough that had they asked, they would have had somebody supporting them as well, but they chose not to. But when we go off on our own and try and do things in our own strength, that we very rarely see things clearly, become increasingly confused. And the end result of this whole case will be that he's going to be in a bigger world of hurt than he was to begin with. When we do that, I was looking at Nehemiah 9:29-31, and it says, "Stubbornly they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked and refused to listen. For many years you were patient with them," and God is patient with us, he's slow to anger. "By your spirit you warned them through your prophets. They paid no attention, so you gave them into the hands of the neighbouring peoples. But in your great mercy you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you were a gracious and merciful God." But there were still consequences for having done it. Where have I in my life refused to listen, tried to fight my own battles, stood on my own place? And the end result of what's happening to this person is not only 2 years later, had he done the training I'd asked him to do, he would have been restored in half a year. But a year and a half later, he's now going through the battle, probably going to have, I don't actually have the final outcome of this court case, but it will be published, so it's going to be public shaming. And so you'll all know his name should you choose to look it up. I'm not going to give you his name. But not only that, but he still is going to have to do the training that I've requested of him if they allow him to. How often, when we try and do things in our own strength and continue, and we're angry at God because he's not fixing our issues the way that we want him to, but he's asking us to do something that's maybe difficult, really difficult, like forgive, about doing what it takes to restore things, about looking at maybe some part that he wants us to learn more about that we're choosing not to learn about. Where are the places where he's allowing you to stay, and he'll let you do it? he'll let you stay in that place. Like this guy, he was allowed to take us to court. It's part of his legal right as a free citizen within this country to be able to countermand the things that we've requested of him. But the end result was 2.5, probably 3 years of no financial income coming in. I imagine what that's doing to his marriage and all the other things that I've already listed. God has always created for us someone who will advocate for us and a way out. But sometimes it's our choice as to whether or not that actually happens. So what about the judge in this scenario? I found him really fascinating. The judge was actually frequently saying to this gentleman, the other side, first of all, he called, when we called for a break, he said, oh, this is a very important witness, and so therefore we need to make sure we can hear her properly. We'll call a break so that we can come back refreshed. And to the other person, he's going, because you've been unwise enough not to get legal counsel, I'm giving you a lot of latitude here, but you need to get on with it. That phrase was repeated through the time. He's given lots of chances to be able to restore, but by the time you're in court, it's probably a bit late. But he gave him the courtesy and respect of being able to reframe things and use him as part of the advocacy to be able to mount his own case properly. How much is that not like God our Father? That even when we're trying to do things in our own strength, we're not using the resources that he's put around us. So it might be that we've got something that we need to process and you know, you won't go to anybody else in prayer because you can do it on your own. Or you won't, I don't know what the other thing is, you can fill in that blank somewhere that's not happening. That even when that's happening, God is still working in the background to enable you to be able to do the best that you can. And he's still calling you, still asking you to put your trust in him so he can restore you. Restoration is a really big thing. Probably my word today is a little bit shorter than it normally is. But I'm going to go back to that verse again. I want you to remember, wherever, I want you to look at yourself, me look at myself corporately in the things that I do and what I am. Be aware that there is nothing that is hidden. God can see everything. Everything is uncovered and laid bare, and that we do have to give an account. However, despite that, because of that, because he loves us, we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, Son of God, and that we need to hold firmly onto the faith that we're professing. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize. He understands us completely. He understands, even though he didn't sin, he understands the propensity for sin and he understands what causes that and that we are not made perfect, that we are people that he is transforming. The fact that they talk in the New Testament often about transforming and renewing of our hearts and minds means that we don't have it okay and we're never going to be actually, but he is continuously putting situations and opportunities in front of us to be able to find our rough edges and get them smoothed off. So that he's not unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but having been tempted in every way just as we are, he didn't sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Can I say the thing that we are supposed to be doing is becoming more like Jesus? And if we are supposed to be becoming more like Jesus, we need to be looking for and being part of situations where we can be part of his restorative grace. to love people, to bring them to an understanding of Jesus' character, not the one that's portrayed in most of the movies, which is silly, inane, critical and judgmental. But somebody who, despite he knows that you've got to stand in front of the judge, is doing all he can to restore us to who we should be completely, not just our relationship with God, which is really important, but restore us to be the kind of people that he knows that we can be because he designed us to be that way. So what are you going to do? Where do you stand? And this can be in one situation you're doing well, in another situation you're not doing so well. Where are you standing with your barrister behind your back, with Jesus as your advocate, and where are you not? What is it that you have to hand to him that you're maybe not, like unforgiveness or judgmental spirit? Or is it that you've got genuine things and you need defending and you need Jesus at your back? Take and allow him to do it. Again, after this service, I'm going to ask if any of you have things that you would like prayer for. I'm going to ask the prayer group to stand over here, and we will be there to pray for you as for whatever issues that you would like, or whether it's just to continue to be wise and to be not only using Jesus as your advocate, but allowing yourself to being transformed. Thanks, Pamela.